It's November 29th, 2014, 3:24 in the AM, and you are listening to The Burner Files. Everything goes, just a couple of dudes chilling in a basement. Stoked that you're tuned in. We talk about whatever we want to feel like, because what isn't? But you know, one thing I am feeling is, I'm feeling the cold. You know, I went out today on my bicycle, tried to get some shawarma sandwiches.
Yeah, was that, the shawarma shop was closed or something, right?
Yeah, that's the best place in Toronto to get shawarma. It's in Etobicoke, actually, where we're situated. And so I go with my bike to this place, and it's like -4 outside, and I'm wearing a leather jacket, and it's like ridiculously cold. I just want to be in a warm blanket. And I get to this place and I'm so stoked. It's like $7.99 for two chicken shawarmas, whatever.
Oh, good deal.
I'm hella excited for it. And door's closed. And I look and I'm like, all this prep stuff is still there. The food's there. I'm like, what's going on, man? Like, it's prime time Friday evening. Like, I want my food.
Right. So other lights were open and it was open, but.
Yeah.
But it wasn't.
It was open, but it wasn't open. Like, he was there, but he wasn't there. And, you know, we lost out on a couple customers, including myself. And I stood there for like 15 minutes and I just couldn't take the cold anymore. So I went down to Bombay on the Lake and got myself some chili chicken.
Oh, wow.
Some excellent aloo gobi. Mm. And some garlic naan bread.
Oh, so you definitely made the right choice, like based on the circumstances, right?
Yeah. I generally feel the vibes out here in the West End, and it usually dictates what I got to do. You know, it's less regimented out here.
Yeah, that's true. But you know, you can still see the skyline, so.
Yeah. And the fact that this place is right near the water helps a lot too.
Word.
So yeah, the weather's completely terrible. I think I'd like to be out in the West Coast, South, maybe California. You know, it doesn't get really that cold down there, does it? You've been down there a couple times, Paul, haven't you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the vibes there are so strong.
All the best music comes out of there.
So this is a new tune, right?
Yeah, it's a new tune by Angels and Airwaves. Our boy Tom DeLonge is gravitating to a more grungier sound. Interesting production. At first, I was taken aback and really didn't like this song or any of the songs that he's put out recently. But with the video accompaniment of the new music video, it kind of popped and it worked. And the chorus is crazy huge, and it reminds me of "Miss You" by Blink.
Okay, yeah, I think the chorus is coming up pretty soon.
Yeah, check it out. It's totes big.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of anticipation for the Blink-182 albums, you know, right? So it's like, it's a conflict in some ways.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, his prior work has been so epic, you know, in all of it. So it's always kind of hard to outdo yourself every next album, you know? It's like any other profession. You're only as good as your last thing that you did, and people want more and more. People are going to be angry if you change your sound, and people are going to be angry if you stay with the same, like, formula, so whatever. It's a huge song, though, in my opinion. Great chorus. Like, if you don't feel this part right here, you don't have a soul, I'm pretty sure. Interesting.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know,
always intriguing lyrics.
Yeah, it almost seems like he speaks from his subconscious. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm torn sometimes just listening to his lyrics and not really like comprehending where they go, but a lot of the words that he uses sound cool. So sometimes it's not about the story and sometimes it's more about just the melody and like cool sounding words.
Yo, I think probably you and I have listened to like 200 songs in the last couple of days.
200 songs?
At least.
Yeah, of varying genres.
Absolutely.
As always. I mean, I think it's, we're the sum of all of like what we do in here, so.
That's right.
It's always good to keep it varied. Brings out the most interesting outcomes.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I mean, Tom DeLonge's a big advocate for extraterrestrials, and at the Burner Files, we're all about the unknown. And speaking of extraterrestrials, I heard this track a couple years ago by a band called Waves, and they got a lot of aliens in their music video. It's a great song. It's called Post Acid, and we'll play that next. Gotta love that reverb. The Burner Files. Interesting thing about that track, or rather that album, I was watching some show, and for a band, they have a really grungy sound, and it sounds awesome, it sounds epic, and a lot of people were like, yeah, you know, it took you no time to record that, just whatever, it sounds kind of bad and grungy, but at the same time sick. But the dude was like, yeah, we recorded in a $6 million studio, so it's always interesting.
Really?
Yeah, it's interesting to see music that kind of sounds like you don't really care being taken seriously in that kind of production level.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess it's kind of like the Strokes too. They have a kind of sound that's seems effortless and almost like hitting play in a garage.
Oh, but that's true. But I mean, a lot of that saturation is pretty expensive too, right?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. It's just interesting. It's an interesting concept, production wise.
Yeah, it was an excellent tune. It's actually kind of almost like early Beatles in a way.
Yeah, exactly. Early Beatles mixed with like Blink's whininess and, you know, other, you know, punk rock, Beach Boys, et cetera, et cetera.
Absolutely.
Speaking of production in the electronic scene, I read this article on djmag.ca. It showed up in my Facebook feed already, so I'm sure it's already outdated, but the Toronto group DVBBS.
Oh, that's D-U-B-B-S, but the V is like...
That's like in the upside down V. That's like,
yeah,
a derivative of the Upside Down Triangle.
So they're dubs.
They're dubs. They're definitely dubs. And by the look of this duo, they mean business. They kind of look the same. Are they brothers?
They are brothers, in fact. Yeah.
They are brothers, but one of them has curly hair. One of them has straight hair. I wonder if the guy with the straight hair straightens his hair or not. Yeah.
Oh, interesting thought. Maybe. Yeah.
Anyways, what I was trying to say is one of them got arrested for smoking marijuana in a hotel room that they were staying at. I believe it was in Atlanta.
Oh my God, Atlanta.
Apparently, yeah. And on their Twitter feed, their official Twitter feed, it says 3 cops to arrest someone with a joint in a hotel room making music, 3... makes sense. That only got 41 retweets, considering Tsunami has like a billion plays. Interesting. Well, up here in Canada, you know, our laws are I think they're a little bit more lax than that.
Oh, they absolutely are. I mean, in some states in America, of course, it's totally legit to half a joint in your mouth.
Yeah, and cops wouldn't really do too much about it. I mean, I remember I've smoked marijuana in hotels, actually on balconies of hotels. I think I've taken that extra initiative as to not get into any sort of altercation with. Well,
at least you didn't smoke it on a balcony of a condo.
Oh yeah,
then you'd be going down.
I would, you know. I'd probably have to pay some kind of fee or something. It's like a stoner's fee or something like that. But yeah, interesting. So this guy who went to jail, his name is Chris. Chris from D-Vibs Dubs, and his mugshot, he doesn't look too pleased. But nonetheless.
I'm sorry, man, but that mugshot is photoshopped.
It's a mugshot of photoshopped.
Yeah, I mean, you have to look like all down and depressed, not like...
He kind of looks angry.
Well, all right.
You're saying he looks cute?
Well, a little bit.
See, the thing that I don't really know, I mean, I've never been to jail, but the closest I got was I was like riding in a car with a bunch of my friends. And we weren't doing really anything illegal. We had that song that's like, breaking the law. And we had that one on. We were going to like skate someplace. And
There were skate parks.
Before there were skate parks. Yeah, I was about like going to skate the Scarborough Town Center or something. And I put my hand out of the window, like shaped it in like a gun sound. Not a gun sound, like I shaped it like a gun and I started shooting. It was like, I was like replicating some skate video that I saw. And these undercover feds actually like pulled around, like got their horns out, you know, they pulled us over, they like put me out on the dash and like patted me down. They actually like stuck a gun in my face, and it was like one of the scarier moments. But
that would make you question
like
reality right there.
Yeah, it was intense. It was I definitely felt the adrenaline, but I'm wondering like you know, the treatment, because they're celebrities, man, they're musical celebrities, so yeah. I don't, the treatment for him, yeah, you know, where does he get to?
Well, it depends on the state that you're in, and right now I'm sure Georgia,
Atlanta,
man, like,
Atlanta is not a very forgiving place to live.
That's what I'm saying.
So, you know, I think if anything, it's probably building their cred.
I mean, it doesn't help that they post photos of themselves smoking like the biggest spliffs you've ever seen in your life, wrapped in gold. You know. So.
Yeah, that's kind of their motto, eh? The marijuana is their motto. And speaking of marijuana, here's a song by Kid Koala and DJ Crush.
Pehle din se aisi bansi bajayi hai kya abhi tak meri jeet nahi hai. रिबन रिबन से ऐसी बंसी बजाई है क्या भाई, जो अभी तक मेरी जिंदगी टाइट है।
Yeah, definitely feeling that sitar.
Yeah, and we'll have more of that sitar.
Yeah, I mean, and
to come.
Can you tell everybody how much Indian food you've ate today?
I told you I went to the Bombay and the Lake. I actually had that exact same meal last night as well. But tonight was more of a spiritual experience. I don't know if they added more spice to it or something, but it was.
Oh, so they put something surprising in it, right?
It was elevated, man. I got into some kind of super natural state of consciousness. And yeah, just to remind you guys, this is the Burner Files, and we are your hosts. I'm Hans.
I'm Paul.
And we'll be taking care of you for the next 50 minutes. You know, you can listen to our beautiful voices and just talking about spiritual experiences.
Just vibing.
Just vibing all the time. Had some Indian food. It was a great experience. And experience that I've been learning through lately is actually a reaction.
Reaction.
Yeah. Reflection versus reaction, or reflection and reaction in balance to one another. As an example, if somebody says something to you, whether it be in jest or in joke, or genuinely somebody says a negative thing to you, the reaction, you get a reaction in your body. You feel something in the pit of your stomach that, you know, it makes you want to basically jump, hit them in the face, whatever. It's a very powerful emotion.
Yeah, it's natural. It happens every day.
It happens every day, multiple times a day. More happens to us all. The thing that I've been learning, struggling with, whatever, is that these emotions, they're like clouds. And, you know, some are bright, some are light, some are rainy, but they all eventually pass. And, you know, once you're in the midst of that moment, it may seem like an eternity. There is no solution. Things are crazy. It's like totally do or die catastrophe. But in reality, they do pass. So, you know, it's always cool. If somebody says something to you, or you're in an uncomfortable situation, or something's really negative at work, it's always good to, you know, just react less and reflect more.
Okay, so you're talking about some kind of clarity.
Yeah, I think so. This is just like, it's what I'm learning right now. And it's making me not only feel like a better person, but it definitely makes me feel more at peace with myself. And speaking of more sitars, here's Thievery Corporation with Lebanese Blonde.
Peace.
On the Burner Files. Paul, I have a question for you. Do you use Tumblr at all?
Actually, I don't.
And why don't you use Tumblr?
I don't know, man. I don't have a need for it. Why did you ask?
I don't know. I'm thinking of doing a thing where I look at my Tumblr, and right now it's like, it's 4:15 a.m. And I just look at the first thing that comes up on my Tumblr, and it's a picture. And apparently this is a new thing now. Women are dyeing their armpit hairs in coordination with the color of their hair. What are your thoughts on this? And how?
Well, I mean, I think that's pretty innovative for sure. I mean, is it some kind of statement or something?
I guess so. I mean, the whole thing with the armpit hair. I mean, we all have hair in our bodies.
Yeah.
And you know, whether you choose to shave it or not is, you know, it's your prerogative.
Oh, okay. So you're talking about women who are keeping their armpit hair.
Women who are keeping their armpit hair and they're dyeing it in. If you can see here, this picture, they're dyeing it. It's like whatever color their hair is, and they're dyeing their armpit hair.
Oh wow! Yeah, that's colorful for sure.
It is. It is colorful. I mean, stylistically, it's interesting. It kind of like bleeds though. And you know, in all sense of hilarity, I'm looking at a woman with red hair and red armpits, and when I say bleed, you know.
Well, I mean, it strikes me as a bit like Anna Mee, you know.
Yeah. What?
Anna Mee.
Anime?
Yeah, anime.
You've seen animes where women dye their armpit hair?
Well, it's just those colors, you know.
It's the colors.
Yeah, it's the colors.
Yeah. I don't know, it's kind of cool. I can get into it. I think it's cool. I personally think it's cool if women, you know, don't shave their armpits. If they do or they don't, you know, it's both ways are attractive. I think, you know, it's smooth. Having smooth armpits are, you know, they're nice to touch.
Lick.
And lick, yeah, of course. Took the words right out of my mouth. You know, if you do have hair, you know, that's just a statement that you're badass enough to like not care what anyone else thinks, which is pretty cool. But it's like
the problem with hair is once it's there, it's always there. As soon as you start shaving it, it becomes like hard as fuck, right?
Yeah, and it grows back thicker, etc., etc. So it's a definite maintenance. It's a maintenance thing, you know. But you know, it's a personal decision at the end of the day. It's definitely colorful, I'll give it that much.
Well, I mean, Hans, you're touching on a lot of gender issues right there, right? Because like, the rule book says that women have to shave their nether regions, and there you go. So, I mean, if they don't, I mean, women's hair on their legs can be pretty soft if they haven't shaved it. But once you get it, it's like a Sikh thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you need a turban on that shit.
Yeah, and those homies shave their heads, the Dalai Lama dudes.
Right.
I don't even know
what. It's for simplicity.
Yeah, apparently. But everybody has a reason for why they do things, I guess, but.
Well, I mean, there's no question you have to consider the maintenance of your various hair spots, man.
Yeah, but it's all a good vibe, you know. That was just the first thing that was on with the Tumblr on this tablet thing that I got. So,
oh, no, that's cool, man. I think, you know, that's good that it trends.
It's an easy way to segue into something different. And, you know, at this time, it's conscientious. I actually got this app that is called Extra Extra, and it's called The Funniest Ambiguous News Headlines. And I'm going to read one right now, and it's going to be awesome.
Ambiguous.
All right. Oh, this one's kind of bad. I'm gonna skip it. I'm going to skip it. Okay, the following headline was actually printed in a newspaper, which will remain nameless, and I'm going to say this right now. Caption is, something went wrong in jet crash, expert says. Oh, that was kind of bad. I don't know if these are actual jokes or actually.
Wait a minute. Was this guy really an expert, or was he just pretending to be? Because
I don't know.
One of those obvious things.
What does it take to be an expert nowadays?
Well, I mean, you have to point out if something crashed, something went wrong.
Yeah. All right. Let's do another one just for giggles. The following headline was actually printed in a newspaper. Okay, this the front, the beginning part always stays the same. That this is actually kind of, I'm not going to say this one because it's to do with
controversial issues.
This one's too controversial too.
Aye.
Oh, this one's good. Panda mating fails. Veterinarian takes over.
Wow, that is kinky. I've heard of that.
From armpit hair to bestiality. You know, we kind of cover everything here.
Both very dank topics, for sure.
They're you know, they're real. It's the things that we have to deal with on a day-to-day basis that keeps us interesting as a human species. Don't you think, Paul? Seriously, what would we be without the internet? Like it's just become I don't know, it's become like some composite meme of self-destruction that we're constantly trying to like feed ourselves to high.
I mean, I don't know if it would make us more simple and complex or more complex and simple.
Do you think that it's making us more complex and we're trying to make it simpler by posting Futurama memes and not sure if or?
Well, I mean, I think it shows there's a number of things. One thing it shows. Well, you talk about a cliche. I mean, everyone takes a selfie. Everyone takes a picture of the sunset.
Selfies.
Oh yeah, I know.
And so everyone, do you, Paul?
Oh right. Well, no, I don't.
You know, and everyone never taken a selfie before.
Well, I've taken a selfie with eggs, and I'm talking about my serious egg omelet. But I mean, these like that's the one thing. I mean, everyone is doing much of the same things, and it's being iterated so many times on the net.
Yeah.
And what does that tell you? It tells you that we're more unified.
Yeah, we are unified.
We do the same things.
Whether we like to admit it or not.
Exactly.
We're pretty much all the same.
Yeah, exactly. And if things are going to be elevated, I mean, it has to be on a group basis. Because, I mean, everyone takes a picture of a sunset. Everyone takes a picture of their food. And it all has a story. It all has a meaning. It looks the same, but it's not. It's different, mm-hmm. but it is the same.
Yeah.
Oh.
There's like always a backstory to the situation and the experience had by the individual who's taking the picture, but the act of taking a picture and the picture itself resembles that of many other pictures of food that have been taken and sunsets that have been taken.
Exactly. So there's like, I don't know, it's on a continuum, I guess, because everyone's story is unique, but everyone can relate to it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, totally. It's like, it's like movies. It's like a good movie, good romantic comedy. Hits you right in the feels. Everybody feels it, except for maybe Gingers.
Through the day with some help from Johnny Walker Red. Send the poison rain down the drain to put bad thoughts in my head. It's torn in half and a lot, and nothing to do. Do you miss me? Miss misery like you say you do. The man in the park read the lines in my head. Man, you mean you had plans for both of us that involved a trip out of town to a place I seen in a magazine that you'd left lying around. I don't have you with me, but miss me, miss misery like you say you do. I know you'd rather see me gone than to see me the way that I am, that I am. It's a comedy of errors, you see. It's about taking a fall. To vanish into oblivion. It's easy to do. And I try to be, but you know me, I come back when you want me to. Do you miss me? Miss misery like you say to me.
And that track was an Elliott Smith song. Elliott Smith, who actually he killed himself. I'm not sure how. It was a bunch of years ago, I think. I don't know, maybe 6 years ago. Which is, it's a sad thing. If somebody's as talented as him, man, he could write a ballad or a song so good and convey like the gnarliest like emotions. Very, very melancholic, but very beautiful at the same time.
So how do you think that relates to his suicide?
I don't know. Maybe it's a struggle, that conflict. Maybe he's in a very intensely conflicted individual, you know. I haven't really read anything about him really too much. I've just listened to his music. It's very, most of it is very, very melancholic, very, very reflective and very like intense at the same time. Like you can't listen to too much or else you'll start to get sad.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot of artists, musicians, painters, regular people who have gone to that extreme. And I mean, on the one hand, I think it's almost brave or something, but on the other hand, it's tragic and it's sad. And
yeah. It's definitely, not to saying a suicide is commendable, but it's commendable to go to those, the farthest reaches of, you know, different emotions.
Yeah, and also to say to yourself, I accept that I will no longer exist, which, I don't know, I mean.
Yeah, and a suicide, I mean, yeah, the quote I was talking earlier today, it's permanent solution to a temporary problem,
right?
But ultimately none of us get out alive, really. So like, are we ready to accept?
Yeah, I mean, and who's in control? What's in control of death, you or nature? I mean,
I tend to think a combination of both, really. But the decisions we make and, you know, the choices we make, they're really based upon like our habits that we grow over since the time that we like are born, I think.
Oh,
you know,
so the habits are cultivated.
We're cultivated. I think our decisions are cultivated through like how we're raised, what we do, the choices that we make every day. Mm-hmm. It's essentially programming us to, you know, it's really programming our decisions. Yeah, I think that's my viewpoint on it. Not to seem like we're not in control of what we do, but I think that, you know, our past habits have a lot to do with what holds in our future. That's why it's so difficult to change certain aspects of ourselves or whatever.
I mean, but what you're saying, it sounds like ultimately, I mean, if you're planting the seeds and you're growing them.
Yeah.
In one way or another. So somehow you are in control of your destiny.
Yeah, completely. But another, you are in control of your destiny, but the things that you do and the habits that you've acquired, you have certain wants and needs and driving forces. So whether those things are positive or not, you are going to want certain things.
So, you know, you have to like assess or be conscious of those patterns that maybe you don't intend.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Or that you don't want, but you either subconsciously want or through habits that you've cultivated. Yeah, you just have to I think that just comes with reflecting and being open to that reflection, so that you can, that we can all like change accordingly to make this life the best that it absolutely can be, you know.
Oh, that's really interesting. So you're talking about reflection. That's yeah. Cool.
Yeah, this is actually the white label demo of Columbia. First time I got high on the marijuanas. I ate an entire tray of weed brownies and listened to this track and totally tripped out and like blacked out and had hallucinations that I was floating on top of the clouds looking at the mountains, these like huge, Colombian mountains or whatever, and I was just totally visualizing the realness and just soaking in the lyrics, you know, nothing's the same to me, here we are. I can't tell you the way I feel, because I don't know how I feel. And when you're in that moment, you're not even feeling, you're just existing. A lack of emotion, but total awareness is just a vibe, man. Demo version from Oasis, and you're listening to The Burner Files. I'm Hans.
I'm Paul.
Taking care of all your vibes this evening in so many beautiful ways. Chilling in this basement, we're surrounded by musical instruments, a beautiful studio, a wonderful Apollo sound device that is making the latency on this virtually unrecognizable. Oh,
and so sweet, right?
So sweet. It's echoless, it's beautiful, and we feel like we're in complete control of the situation, which...
Falsa!
Which is pretty sweet. But Paul, did you know that, your bones, pound for pound, are, 4 times stronger than concrete?
Is that so? Really?
Yeah.
So does that explain skateboarding?
No, I don't know. Maybe skateboards should be made out of human bones.
Ah, yeah.
That would probably be a lot more sturdier than the 7-ply maple that they are made of now.
Oh, Powell and Peralta bones, right? So
Bones Brigade. They already beat us to it, man. That's ridiculous.
About 20 years ago.
How does that even...
30.
How does that even happen? I just basically fooled myself into thinking something that was already true that I didn't know.
That's called magic.
Man, this is good. this is a good time we're having here. But I mean, if we're to look at the entire world on an atlas or on a globe, there does seem to be more water than land, right?
True.
What if that water wasn't water?
Okay.
And we had to live on something else that would sustain us. What do you think our lives would be like? And would we take the form that we have today, or would we be something different?
Okay. Yeah, well, I mean, the planet that you're on, the circumstances that you're in are obviously going to be that frame that your, you know, story happens in, you know?
So, yeah.
I mean, H2O, oxygen, they're actually irrelevant insofar as, it, as you say, it could be a completely different circumstance, completely different set of rules.
Right.
But what would be the same? I don't know.
No, you're totally right. It's all based upon circumstance, and it seems that the adaptability of, or an adaptability would be perfection.
Say that again, man. For the listeners.
For the
listeners. That was too, that was like really heavy, so.
That was heavy?
Just drop that one again.
No. No, each circumstance to whatever, different planets. And their our adaptability or inadaptability to it, because, you know, there's survival and evolution, you know, sometimes it we progress and sometimes, you know, we just die off, but they would be pretty much the same situation as here, but the elements would remain. It wouldn't matter what they were.
Well, I mean, there supposedly there's a certain restriction to the elements that could be circumstantial. You know, like you're always going to have to have some kind of water.
Yeah.
Some kind of. So, I mean, is that, so what you're saying is like, is that the theater in which, you know, we're playing on right now? Like, yeah. What's it changes a bit. So the different colors, like a genre, theater. Like a genre. If you're feeling your music and it's at in like a 96 BPM, like we're listening to a lot of stuff, it was like 96 yeah. BPM.
So what's the water? Is water like drums or what?
I think water is.
If water was, well, an instrument, what instrument would it be?
It wouldn't be an instrument, Hans, because I think that like the waves on the water are the instrument.
Okay.
And the different, like different.
The different surroundings make the waveforms.
Yeah, and the circumstances, like the wind could be there, and the depends wind. On the size of the moon. On
so,
the
what's
planet.
The wind? What's the wind that makes the wave?
Well, that's the modulation.
Okay. So are any of these? What about tangible forces? Tangible forces of nature. What would they be as far as instruments and music? So. Like fire.
Well, they'd right? be.
What instrument would fire be?
Well, it's just part of the symphony. I mean, fire would be a certain, you know, I mean, fire can be hot. It can actually be somewhat cold.
Yeah.
You got really hot fire that melts this and that and the next thing. So that's an intensity thing. But those modulations, be it fire, be it wind, be it rain, are just, you know, just fucking filters, man. Like,
it's EQ.
It's an EQ. I mean, like you could tell that we're producers, right? I mean, that's the way. I mean, that's like for example, that's the way that we relate when we're talking about waveforms, or whatever. And like a painter is going to see it as a certain color.
Yes, we all view our landscape differently as artists. That's a definite true statement.
But circumstantially, we look at the same. Setting.
We look at the same setting, but we interpret it differently.
Exactly.
In almost a limitless capacity, I think.
That's true. And like scientists, like they want to like sort out what that setting is. Like, okay, you can see the wave one way, I can see it another way, but what really is it?
Yeah.
Well, let me know when they sort it out, because, you know, they don't have it figured out yet. Why is that?
Yeah, science, right? I like to depend on science to be right in certain situations, but I in generally, I don't know. I agree with it sometimes, and, you know.
I mean, it's pretty good.
They like to put I mean, I'm not saying they put restrictions on things, but the way you're putting it kind of made science like the you know, the unwilling teacher in school who makes you write with the other hand that you're not used to and makes you stay late after class.
Oh, I see what you're saying, man. I mean, I definitely think that science has a perspective to bring. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, they're struggling a lot of the times to say, okay, look, we got together, we figured it out, we smoked a couple of joints, and we got it sorted out. Here's the truth.
Yeah.
And no, it's a perspective.
Yeah.
Now, having said that, there are some basic things, but it doesn't take science to realize that 2 + 2 = 4.
It's true. 2 + 2 is definitely not 4, though.
It isn't 4, but any child would understand that.
When you're right, Paul. I have to say that.
How often is that?
But doesn't science makes things pretty lonely, don't you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's been people who said that if you look at the statistical world view, in other words, you can reduce everything to a statistic, it's cold. It's often inaccurate. Although it computes.
Yeah. We like things that compute, don't we?
Because it's enticing for something to be so simple and you can sort it out and just, oh, okay, put it to the side. You don't have to think about it. It's sorted out.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. What do you think the loneliest animal is in the world?
It's funny because I used to think that clearly it had to be a reptile. Because reptiles are, you know, ancient. Their blood is cold. They seem so, in many ways, ferocious.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, it's actually observable that reptiles have very complex relationships. Symbols, rituals. So I don't think there's any animal that's lonely.
Interestingly enough, I have a list here on BuzzFeed that says, which, I mean, BuzzFeed is one of the most reputable websites,
absolutely,
almost more so than Wikipedia. But it says the loneliest creature on the earth is a whale who has been calling out for a mate for over 2 decades. But whose high-pitched voice is so different to other whales that they never respond.
Oh, interesting. That's fascinating, actually.
That does seem quite lonely.
But how do we know that animal isn't celebrating something?
Yeah, maybe it's celebrating its
singleness.
Singleness or celibacy or some type of... maybe it's just hungry. I don't know, man. It's a very strange concept to be in the water and basically yelling for 20 years.
Oh yeah, but don't forget, I mean, whales are mammals.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, what are they doing in the water in the first place? It seems some kind of...
Wow.
I'd say...
That's sad. Let me play this for a little second.
Okay. So you're playing this off your iPad.
Yeah, I'm playing it off my iPad.
Okay.
Talking about some loneliness at this point. There's a gentleman you may not recognize his voice, but I'll try to put it up to the microphone as high as possible.
Right now, I'm under some kind of pretty vicious attack. I still haven't figured out the reasons why, except that about 8 weeks ago, I began an audit of not only my record company, but my personal finances. During the course of that audit, a lot of things were uncovered. a lot of money was stolen from me, or royalties not paid, and that's when all hell began to break loose. All of a sudden, the IRS has frozen my bank accounts 2 or 3 times to leave me completely penniless. I don't even understand that, why all this is happening at the same time. When I called to find out why, they said, oh, we had an address mix-up. It was a clerical error. So we'll return your funds in 9 to 10 months. Right now, I'm looking for an honest, good attorney that's ready to fight.
Wow. Okay.
And that is our boy Scott Stapp from Creed. Apparently, he's having some issues.
I mean, they had some big hits.
Yeah, some big hits.
Yeah.
Arms Wide Open, Higher, classic examples. Debatably Christian rock, unsure.
Not too debatable.
I mean, the Christian kids could get down with it because they didn't swear.
Right, so it was vague enough, I guess, right?
Yeah, vague. Vague enough to
crossover.
Crossover. A spiritual Christian crossover drop D band. But yeah, apparently he's homeless and penniless, living in a Holiday Inn by the grace of God, and looking for a high-powered, honest attorney to get his money back.
Right, so he's a victim.
This is from TMZ. I'm definitely not trying to use this as exploiting him, but it shocks me from what people can go to, you know, in a period of however many years. What was it? I don't know. They're relative in like the 90s, right? So that'd be, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah. But so how did you perceive his position beforehand? I mean,
his what?
Well, you said that he fell from some kind of grace in your eyes.
He fell from, I don't know if he fell from grace, but he's definitely down and out, and whether that's a result of you know, falling from grace and making excessive choices. I'm not really sure.
Where was he before? I mean, he was probably already there. I mean, has he run out of money?
It looks like it. He doesn't look like he's doing too well, and he's got some. Yeah. Definitely has some issues he has to deal with.
Right, but I mean, you said like maybe he was always that way before he had money.
Maybe it's true. So we could probably just hope for another Creed album.
Like maybe he's just trying to ease. Like this is a preset to a Kickstarter campaign.
Oh, I shouldn't really laugh, but I laughed anyways. Yeah, I mean, yeah, that would be a smart decision. That'd be a very, I'm pretty sure people would get behind a Creed album. I mean, people get behind Nickelback, right?
Yeah, in a way.
In a way. Yeah, a lot of people do. Millions of people do. But that'd be interesting. A Creed Kickstarter. 20-year anniversary. Remixed versions of Higher, Arms Wide Open. What was this?
Yeah, and in 6 months, you'll be like podcasting from a Hyatt hotel.
Hyatt?
Yeah. Or maybe a Trump. Asking to... He just needs money to master the album.
Oh, that's... It's... I mean, I can get down with Creed any day, really. I mean, it's always good to chill out with some drop D, you know what
Excellent
I'm saying?
Guitar tones. That's what I'll say.
Big guitar tones for sure for all the audio lovers. I'm not going to say rock lovers because that would be a blasphemous disgrace to things. But thank you guys for tuning into the Burner Files. We're going to try to do this maybe once a week, maybe once every 2 weeks, maybe monthly. We're going to try to make it a habit here so you guys can have a good time. Just hang out with us, chill, you know, talk about stupid things.